We present Kenneth Williams, Derek Nimmo, Clement Freud and Jacqueline McKenzie in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you very much indeed, and welcome once again to Just a Minute. And once again, we welcome the four keen competitors to do battle, and they're all going to try and speak, if they can, for just a minute on some unlikely subject, without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviation. That is, without deviating from the subject on the card. And according to how well they do it, and how often they're challenged, they will either gain points or give them away. And let us begin the show this week with Kenneth Williams. Kenneth, a very apt subject for you and a marvellous subject, I think, to begin the show with, panic. Kenneth, will you talk to us about panic for 60 seconds, starting now?
Well, this sort of thing generally sets in when the circumstances appear to be outside of the range of one's normal control. If a person understands...
Clement Freud is challenged. Why?
What?
Why have you challenged Clement?
I thought the batteries run down.
The battery on your buzzer or the... So on what basis do you challenge, then?
Well, I think maybe the audience...
Have definitely said that you won a point, but I wanted to know what you think.
I thought he slowed down beyond the realms of decency.
It's not the point. It's hesitation you've got to get.
Yes, but there must become a point, Kenneth, when you get so slow.
No point. This game is about hesitation, deviation or repetition, and I did none of those three things.
No, but you got...
So don't flannel me, mate.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Kenneth Williams Show. There must come a point, Kenneth, when you do go so slowly that it becomes, I think, interpreted as hesitation. I am not going to be the judge. If you agree with Clement Freud's challenge of a hesitation because of the slowness, will you cheer? If you disagree, will you boo? And will you all do it together now?
Hooray!
You see, Kenneth, Clement Freud has a point. And there are 47 seconds left for panic, Clement, starting now.
In the 1920s, panic was one of the finest 6 furlong sprinters to be seen on the racecourses of England. He won victories at Great Yarmouth, Newmarket, Devon and Exeter, and there was one occasion, late in June, at Ludlow.
Kenneth Williams, why...
I think his battery's running down.
It's very clever. Did you see, ladies and gentlemen of the audience, how Kenneth suddenly got the idea and suddenly leapt forward? All right, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll be utterly fair about this. I put the decision last time about batteries...
No, put it to him again.
All right. If you agree with Kenneth Williams' challenge, will you cheer? And if you disagree, will you boo? And you all do it together now. It wasn't as decisive as last time, but I would say the cheers just got it. Yes, just got it. Wasn't decisive, you see.
Of course they've just got it. Jack Hanks rags on my side.
You cheered as well, did you?
Yes.
All right, then. Clement Freud, who is so clever again, I'm sure can afford to be magnanimous and allow you to take over the subject of panic again, having gained a point, 19 seconds left, starting now.
Very often leads to hysteria and a great screaming and shouting, rush for the doors and people falling over each other in the melee, police called and fire brigades, horrible mutilations everywhere. Oh, my legs! Oh, my arms! Where's my head?
Clement Freud challenged just before the whistle went.
Repetition of oh my. Oh my legs, oh my arms.
It's true, isn't it? It's true. I've got to give it to him. He's so clever getting in just before the whistle goes. So, Clement, I have to agree with you. You gain another point. You take over the subject of panic, and there are 2 seconds left, starting now.
Hand down Park on the outskirts of London.
For those of you who may not know, the whistle, which is blown so beautifully by Ian Messiter, who sits beside me, tells us that 60 seconds is up, and whoever is speaking at that moment gets an extra point. This occasion it was Clement Freud, so he now has a very commanding lead over everybody else at the end of that round. In fact, 2 people have yet to score, and Kenneth Williams has 1. Oh, Clement, it's your turn to begin the next round. The subject that's been thought of for you is 12th birthdays. So can you talk about 12th birthdays for 60 seconds, starting now?
Well, by a strange coincidence, this is exactly what is occurring in my family at this moment. And what we do is we go out and purchase macaroons and donuts, jam tarts, waffles, jellies, custards, and make biscuits, sandwiches of tomato and cheese, pickle, chutney, relish, horseradish, to which he's particularly partial, and we get a cake with 12 candles, and by means of deploying a dozen matches, each of these static lights is lit, or made active, as they say in television, then do we gather around this festive board, and my wife, the honest butler, the carriage attendant, and our chauffeur sing, happy birthday to you, joyous anniversary for the cheerful celebrations, dear Dominic, utter glumptiousness on the occasion of the renewal of your date of birth.
He kept going for 60 seconds. He kept going in spite of challenges. You were challenged.
Deviation. I don't think his wife is an honest butler.
I don't know what her maiden name was, actually. But, no. I mean, obviously, you can refer to your wife, especially if you're using a literary phrase. So, Clement, I have to agree with you. You gain another point, and there are 2 seconds left, starting now.
Up in a Christmas tree.
Well, Clement Freud got a strange subject, and in spite of the challenges, he kept going throughout to the end, and he has increased his lead quite considerably over everybody else at the end of that round. Jacqueline McKenzie, will you begin the next round? The subject is occasions on which I wear earrings. You've had a little moment to think about the subject, so can you talk to us about it for 60 seconds, starting now?
Well, I hope I'm not very different from other people, but as a rule, I wear earrings on my lobes at occasions, and this is something I haven't done latterly because I wear earrings only in public, on festive events, mostly at night. And latterly, with the fact that clothes aren't often won or worn late at night, I have been there...
Ken Phillips, why are you challenged?
They're too late at night.
Yes, they were too late at night. And the idea
of...
It's
a bit dull, too, isn't it?
Well, not only that, the idea of clothes not being worn latterly late at night. I wonder what sort of parties Jacqueline attends, actually. Kenneth, I agree with your challenge, so you gain a point and you take over the subject. There are 37 seconds left. Occasions on which I wear... Yes. You may well look shattered. You've had a little moment to think about it. Now tell us, Kenneth, would you the occasions?
I didn't realise that was the subject.
I know. She said latterly twice and nobody challenged her way back because they didn't want to get in with it either. So you got in. Will you tell us, Kenneth, for 37 seconds, the occasions on which you wear earrings, starting...
Oh, it's murder.
Starting now.
Well, the one occasion in which I did do it was when
Freud,
I bought
why have you challenged?
It.
Deviation.
Why?
The subject's occasions.
Yes, and he spoke, he's about to tell us about one occasion
the
on which...
The one occasion.
The one occasion.
Well, he often uses this expression, the one, the occasion, or the
true,
one occasion.
That's true, I do. He knows me, you see.
I agree that this is not probably the best English, but people do use this expression
right.
Colloquially.
Right.
And one has to speak colloquially in this game, otherwise you never...
Very fair. That's very proper.
I'm glad I'm being proper with you. I was being... Kenneth, you gain another point, because I disagree with the challenge. There are 34 seconds left for you to tell us the occasion... No, occasions on which I wear earrings, starting now.
I remember purchasing these for a lady, and it occurred to me that I should try them out apropos of... No, apropos.
Well,
I
meant, you see, you're not supposed to
look,
say
you've
apropos
inhibited
of.
It,
you're supposed
you
to say apropos a... the thing, not
yes.
supposed to say apropos of it. That's what I was trying to correct myself.
Yes.
You see what I mean?
They made you self-conscious about your English because you said the occasion.
That's what I mean, yes.
Yes, of course. But unfortunately, I have to agree with the challenges. It was legitimate.
Oh, lackaday room.
We must ask him on the programme one time, there are 21 seconds left, Derek, for you to continue. Occasions on which I wear earrings, starting now.
Whenever I go to a boy's 12th birthday, I always wear the most magnificent pair of sequined earrings. And I get on to my horse
which is a lovely white stallion riding across the desert on my way there. And when I get and they see them, they
I'm
all...
sorry, the buzzer didn't sound, but actually, for the light in front of me tells me that Kenneth Williams challenged you, Derek. Why,
oh,
Kenneth?
So
because it's patently obvious that it was all lies.
Well, we don't know. It might be patently obvious to you, but we don't know. And therefore, as we have no means of judging, we just have to accept his word, and because he wasn't deviating from the subject on the card, and he continues with occasions on which I wear earrings. With another point, Derek, 11 seconds left, starting now.
Another time was when I was at Chiswick Empire in Aladdin, and I was playing the Grand Vizier, and I had two large gold earrings, which I found awfully attractive, and the audience used to applaud them every night when I went on stage.
Derek was speaking, then when the whistle went, he gains another point. He's now in second place, equal with Kenneth Williams, who are both trailing a little behind our leader still, Clement Freud. Kenneth Williams, your turn to begin. The subject is the art of listening. Would you talk to us for 60 seconds on that subject, starting now?
The art of listening consists in appearing to be interested whether you are, in fact, or not. And it is something I have never really mastered in the sense of mastery. But, of course, one can incline the head and appear to be interested. I find very, very difficult, and I say, often nod off. I frequently nod off.
Kevin Roy, to challenge why?
Where does one start?
Well, all right.
Nod off.
Yes. And, Clement, I agree with the challenge. You gain a point, you take over the subject. 33 seconds left. The art of listening, starting now.
This is really a very difficult subject on which to talk, because ideally one says nothing, inclines one's head, as my colleague Kenneth Williams so wisely stated.
Kenneth, why have you challenged?
There's repetition.
Why?
You just said I said it.
I did say incline your head. I just said it.
Yes, but you said it, but he didn't say it before. And that's when you're repetitious, when you're speaking with the subject, when you repeat it with something that you've actually said before, not in reference to somebody else who said something. So it's not a clear challenge. I mean, it's not a legitimate one. So Clement gets another point, and there are 18 seconds left for the art of listening, starting now.
Arthur III, Earl of Shrewsbury, was possibly the greatest exponent of this art, and many memorial statues have been put up in cities and county towns in England, showing this good man, this noble, virtuous soldier, in sight...
Derek Nimmer, why have you challenged?
Sir Earl Shrewsbury wasn't a soldier.
How do you know? How does Clement know? How do I know? How does anybody in the audience know? He might have been a soldier. He might have been in the local Home Guard. He might have been in the local Home Guard. You never know the time.
The title's too old. There wasn't any.
Of course, Derek knows this subject. You see, he's caught you out. This is the match.
You don't even know which Earl of Shrewsbury you're referring to.
The third Earl of Shrewsbury, he said.
Yeah, and he was definitely not a soldier?
Definitely not a soldier.
Ladies and gentlemen, he might have done some soldiering. We do not know for certain. So if you agree with Derek's challenge, would you cheer? And if you disagree, will you boo? And will you all do it together now? You have decided that the third Earl of Shrewsbury never did any soldiering. And if there's any relations of his now, descendants of his listening in, and they thought that their ancestor did a little bit of soldiering for the honour of the family, then I apologise for our audience. But Derek Nimmo gains a point and takes over the subject of the art of listening. 5 seconds left, starting now.
The second Lord Chesterfield, on the other hand, was the most splendid listener and was known to Whig society.
On that occasion, Derek Nimmer was speaking when the whistle went, so he gains another point. But he's still in second place behind Clement Freud. Kenneth Williams is in third place, a little way behind, and Jacqueline is trailing a little behind Kenneth. Jack, turn to begin the next round. Just tidying out my drawers. Can you talk to us about tidying out my drawers for 60 seconds, starting now?
Tidying out my drawers has been the bane of my existence because I live most of the time in a suitcase and I don't have those parts of a wardrobe within that transportation piece of item article. I spend my time tidying out other people's various receptacles for clothes, underwear, nasty pieces of paper, sweet papers. It usually belongs to...
Clement Freud, why have you challenged?
Paper.
Yes, there were two pieces of paper. There were an awful lot of words. It didn't make sense, too, but there was definitely two pieces of paper.
So no, Clement, my drawers make any sense.
Clement, you have got the subjects, and I defy you to continue in the same tone.
You defy him?
Yes.
You should encourage and help, not defy him.
I defy him not to lower the standard of the program.
Oh, I see. Oh, well, expressions are more articulate.
Give me a chance. Tidying up my drawers, Clement. Can you talk to us on that for 34 seconds, starting now?
I find this a very substantial task because my drawers are very much longer than most of the people. But I begin by removing any hairs from my knees and upper thigh. Whereafter, I rise gently on the anatomy.
Derek Nimmer, why have you challenged?
I wish I hadn't.
So all that happens, if you take back the challenge, is that because you pressed your buzzer, Clement gains a point and continues for 18 seconds, tidying out my drawers, starting now.
There are also sideboards which contain pants and vests. Shirts, collars.
Kenneth Williams, why have you challenged?
Sideboards couldn't possibly contain vests and pants. They come down from your ears and you couldn't get them.
And even, of course, Kenneth, if you take... even if you take sideboards in the other sense, that he has a sideboard in the dining room and he keeps his vest and pants in it. It's very devious, isn't it?
Yeah.
So on both scores, I must obviously give it to you and say that you have 14 seconds left for tidying up my drawers, starting now.
This is ridiculous, and it should be retitled Tidying Up. I have never in my life heard the word accompanied by out, and it should never have been put so in the first place. Ian Messiter should be publicly catechised.
Why have you challenged?
He's not talking about the subject, he's just sort of castigating me.
Of course, I'm discussing the subject. I'm discussing the subject, now I should be phrased. How dare! Thank you.
Yes, he's right.
I've been affronted.
Leave him alone.
I'm sorry. Thank you, Kenneth.
All right, anybody else want to speak up for Kenneth Williams before the chairman says something? All right, so there we are. But you see, Derek, quite fairly, he was speaking about the subject on the card. And he was being very cruel to Ian Messiter and criticising him for the way
we thought up the game.
And thought up the game. We invited you to be on the programme.
Yes. It's very horrid, Kenny, if you think about it.
So, but you gained a point, so what does it matter? That's all that matters, isn't it, this game? The point. So, there are 2 seconds left for tidying out my drawers, Kenneth, starting now.
On the other hand, he draws me out.
Kenneth's drawers have given him a leap forward. And he's gone from fourth to third place, just behind Derek, who's still quite a way behind Clement Freud, who's still in the lead. Derek, a good subject for you to begin the next round with. Charlie. Can you talk to us about Charlie for 60 seconds, starting now?
I am proud to be able to say here that I am the original Charlie. There are lots of imitators, but when people see me in the street, my goodness, they say he is a right Charlie, and there I am, and I admit to it immediately. Also, of course, one thinks of speed, bonny boat, like a bird on the wing, over the sea to sky, carrying the lad that's born to be king. What's the matter? Is there any buzz?
No. Clement Freud has buzz now.
I'm so sorry. I thought I had a buzz.
The hush put us in awe, but your actual delivery on that occasion put us in even more awestruck awe.
Ah.
And that's why you paused. Clement Freud got in first with his challenge. Why have you challenged, Clement?
Hesitation,
I agree. Clement, you gain a point. 30 seconds left for Charlie, starting now.
Charlie is my darling, my...
Well, it must be deviation.
All right, so take the subject and a point, and 26 seconds left for Charlie, starting now.
I once appeared in a musical comedy in the Strand with that name and a girl on the end of it, and goodness me, it was a happy time. All sorts of jolly chums I made. Dame Anna Neagle, full stop, who was there with me, most lovely lady, and other people too, if I could only think who was the most beautiful of
Jacqueline Mackenzie, why have you challenged?
Hesitation.
Yes, I think there was.
Yes, of course.
So, Jacqueline, you gain a point and the subject. There are 5 seconds left for Charlie, starting now.
Well, for my money, the greatest Charlie of all was Charlie Chaplin, Cockney, and a great...
Derek, Jacqueline McKenzie was then speaking when the whistle went. She gains another point for that. She is still, alas, in fourth place behind Kenneth. Kenneth is just 2 points behind Derek, but they're all quite a few points behind Clement Freud. Kenneth, it's your turn to begin. The subject is Sunday. Can you talk to us for about a minute on that, starting now?
A day of solemnity when one hears church bells ringing a hateful sound. And indeed, I wrote to this vicar and said, can't you stop them? And he said, no, it's the established church. We have the right to ring them whenever we like, to call them to worship. I said, well, do it another way. There's all sorts of modern ways you can do. You don't know these. Blang, blang, bang. It's a challenge.
Noise.
It goes on. Long
blang.
All about.
The reverberation.
I know, but mind you, they say the cracking Big Ben gives it its lovely quality, don't they? Have you heard that say? Actually, crack right away.
You bland.
You challenge me.
Derek challenged you.
We're on grounds.
Blang, blang.
Blang, and you tried to blang your way out of it.
That was onomatopoeic.
So, there we are. Derek, I agree with the challenge. A repetition of bangs, and you gain a point and the subject, and there are 35 seconds left. For Sunday, starting now.
Sometimes I leap into my motor car and drive down to the coast. And there I have a little boat with a blue sail and a white hull. And I get into it and float across the waves with the oars going one, two, three. Because I have one at the front and two at the back. And then I...
Clement Freud has challenged you.
Repetition of both one and two.
Yes, that's right. You have one at the front, you said one, two,
absolutely
three.
Absolutely right.
Yes, absolutely right.
Right, goodness.
Clement has a point, and there are 17 seconds left for Sunday, starting now.
The fifth Lord Brecknock once said to his second wife that of the
Jacqueline
seven...
McKenzie, why have you chosen?
There's absolutely no fifth Lord Brecknock.
He means the pub.
Obviously, as I was not prepared to judge on whether the third Earl of Shrewsbury did any soldiering, I am not going to judge on the fifth Earl Brecknock. Clement Freud gains another point, therefore, and he has 13 seconds for Sunday, starting now.
Saturday night is the loneliest night of the week.
Kenneth Williams' wife, who chose.
Saturday night is not what we're discussing. It's Sunday, and I don't see how, by any stretch of the imagination, you could possibly introduce Saturday night into this discussion. I am moved. I am impassioned, I think.
You are absolutely impassioned. And probably the reason you introduced it is because it's the day before Sunday. Has it not occurred to you? And so I'm afraid you didn't give him a chance. So though I'd love to hear you go further on Sunday, I must be fair according to the rules of the game.
Fair?
Yes. And say Clement has another point, and there are 10 seconds left for Sunday. Clement, starting now.
Because that is the night my sweetheart and I used to dance to Deacon.
Derek Nimmer, challenge, right.
No hesitation.
Derek Nimmer has gained a point for a legitimate challenge. He takes over the subject with 7 seconds left for Sunday, starting now.
One Sunday, on the Isle of Shuna, I turn to the Dowager Viscountess Selby and said...
Kenneth Williams, why do you challenge?
We all know there's no such person.
It's a pub, Kenneth. Ah!
Well, Jacqueline, how do you turn to a pub and speak to her?
Easily.
Yes. And speak to her, Kenneth?
And if this dowager lady exists, she'll be furious if you say she's a pub.
All right, in deference to her ladyship, we'll say that Derek Nimmer has a point for an incorrect challenge. 2 seconds left, starting now.
Let's go down to the jetty.
I'm sorry to have to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that there's no more time to play this particular game of Just a Minute. Jacqueline McKenzie was just in fourth place behind Kenneth Williams, who trained a little behind Derek Nimmer, who was in second place. But our leader and winner this week was Clement Freud. For the sake of the chairman, the panel in future will stop bringing in names of the aristocracy. I find it very difficult to judge whether they're dead or alive. Well, we do hope you've enjoyed this particular edition of Just a Minute, and from all of us here, goodbye.
chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The programme was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by David Hatch.